David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest with us. It's Ryan Kopiar, and he has an amazing background that he's going to share with you. He's accomplished a lot, and he's here today to talk about his accomplishments and some of the things that he thinks will be very beneficial to our listeners. So, Ryan, why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Sure, Stacey. Well, thank you so much. It's great to be with you. That's a big question, so I'll try and condense it down into a short way. So I work as a clinical mental health counselor. I'm internationally licensed in British Columbia, Canada, and Washington and Oregon State in the USA. I got to that position after some very rough, difficult, low moments in my life. And it was kind of through that process that it led me to the field of mental health counseling. And I said, okay, I don't have this whole thing figured out, but I've learned quite a bit about myself.
Right.
So I want to help other people learn about themselves so that they can, create the change in their life they want.
I think that's awesome. You know, I felt the same way. Sometimes we go through life, we don't know where our pathway or our journey is going to take us, but we come to realizations sometimes in life and, you know, that helped us tremendously. And it's always nice if we can kind of return the favor and, you know, use what we learn to help others.
Yes. So. Yeah. Beautifully said.
So you're very much into mental health, spiritual health, and physical health. Why don't you tell me a little about that?
Sure. So before getting into the mental health profession, I worked in the health and wellness industry. And so what I say is for over a decade, I helped people from here down.
Yeah.
And here's what I came to realize, Stacey. We can help people from here down, but if this, and for those out there that are spiritual, if the soul is not in alignment,
yes,
the change is either not going to stick or it's not going to be as great as it could be.
Exactly.
And so I would see people that would come in, Stacey, there'd be people that would lose 65 pounds. They quite literally didn't even look like the same person.
Right.
And some of those individuals would keep it off and they'd have a whole new life.
Right.
And other individuals, you kind of wouldn't see them for a period of time. And then they would come back looking much the way that they had looked when they first came in to see me. And I thought, man, there's something going on here. There's something that I'm missing.
Yeah.
And ultimately that led me into, so we've got to be in alignment in order to create maximum change.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I believe that the mind, body, and soul has to be in alignment with each other. A lot of times when people go and they work out at the gym and they get the physique they want, you know, if you don't know how to cope with your emotions the proper way, a lot of people resort to food as a road for comfort. And that's a lot of times, that's why people gain the weight back. Either they can't stay on the regimen, you know, because it's a crazy regiment that they're following. You can only do it for so long, or they have emotional issues and, you know, food is a comfort for them, you know? So it's, you know, if you do have like an emotional comfort in with food, you know, if food makes you feel good emotionally, you're going to keep resorting back and you're going to keep gaining weight and you're never going to accomplish your goals. And that goes right into the mental health issues. So it's really finding that root cause, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, whether it's food, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, for me, it was drugs and alcohol for a period mm-hmm. of time in my life, pornography. I mean, you name it, right? These are all
right.
External temporary
yes.
solutions to fill a very, not permanent, but what may feel overwhelmingly permanent internal void inside.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I feel like, you know, a lot of people, you know, addiction is very big in our, you know, especially in the United States. And, you know, people become addicted to either drugs or alcohol, again, you know, or food, you know, for a coping mechanism, you know, and until you really learn how to cope with the problems that are occurring in your life, you're going to go, like you said, externally to find some type of comfort zone. So how would you suggest for people who are struggling, you know, if they want to better themselves, but they, you know, they have issues, you know, they have, you know, how would you help them get to that root cause, you know, so they, because you have to kind of go to the root cause and fix the root cause if you're going to fix the entire body, you know, mind, body, and soul.
Yeah. You can't change the fruit until you change the root.
Yes. Right? I like that.
Yeah. So that's a great question. First off, you have to want to.
Yes. Yes.
Right. You have to want to. Stacy, I didn't want to for a long time. I didn't even realize what I was doing for a long time.
Right? Many don't. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you have to want to. Then you have to be willing to take the internal journey.
Yes.
Which will often happen parallel to or simultaneously with kind of a rock bottom, right?
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, the external is so bad. It's like, what do I do? Right? The external gets so bad that sometimes you feel like you have nowhere else to go other than internally, right?
Right.
And then you got to be willing and ready to put in the work.
Yeah.
And here's the key part, with no time frame attached, healing is not linear. Healing can be like a roller coaster, right?
Oh, 100%. So kind of
disattachment from like, okay, what my family, what my friends will think, right? It is a time in which I need to do this and just embark in your own healing journey.
Oh, definitely. You know, a lot of people, you know, have to hit rock bottom before they could actually, you know, and a lot of people that I've spoken to, a lot of people didn't even realize that they were, you know, they were falling at the pace they were. They were totally oblivious, you know, because they were so caught up in their own behaviors that, you know, nobody was helping them or giving them direction. Or if they were very defensive about it and they didn't want to hear it, you know. And then one day you hit that rock bottom and you realize, you know, I got to make a change or else kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, that was walking out of the post office and about a dozen DEA and NYPD agents pulled up guns drawn, right? It said, put the package down. You're coming with us. So for me, that was that rock bottom. For other people, it could be a divorce, right? It could be a bankruptcy. I mean, it could look a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
What I say to people is there's purpose in your pain.
Yes.
There's power in your pain, right? So
yes.
You don't have to be afraid of it, although it can seem overwhelming and more than what it is you can take. There's tremendous growth that's hidden inside of that pain. Grief and loss of a loved one is another tragic event that can kind of cause people to feel like they're at their rock bottom or the lowest of lows.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the situation is. It could take on a lot of different forms.
Right.
You can imagine if it's a situation in your life that's causing you a lot of pain, mm-hmm. there's also a lot of purpose and power in it.
You can't, if you can get over the pain factor, you do become more powerful and your problems in life strengthen you. It's a learning factor. But, you know, a lot of times people that have pain, if they don't have the ability or they don't have the drive to want to improve themselves, a lot of them fall into depression, which leads to other things. So, you know, what happens to those people? How would you help somebody like that? Or it's just, they have to hit that. They have to come to their own conclusion that they have to help themselves.
Yeah. I think that depression is anger turned inwards.
Mm-hmm.
That could be anger towards other people, but quite often it's anger towards ourselves, right?
Right.
And so the big part there is, okay, well, what am I angry about and who am I angry at, right? If that is being angry at myself, then maybe one of the most important and transformative steps could be taking a hard look at myself and then forgiving myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all did the best we could do with the tools and the knowledge and the understanding that we had.
Yes. Yeah, I believe forgiveness is a big role play, you know, like a lot of people, you know, hold on to the past, they hold on to the trauma in their life, and they don't let go. But we have to realize that the past is the past, we can't change the past. So we have to come to terms, you know, and forgiveness is one way. You know, some people don't believe in forgiveness, some people, you know, find other ways of coping with, you know, trauma or traumatic events in their life. But, you know, if you can learn to, you don't have to like, if you could just emotionally forgive either yourself or forgive somebody, you don't have to hear the person say, I'm sorry. just, you know, you come to terms where I forgive that person for hurting me, you know, back when blah, 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 blah. Or you could say, you know what, I forgive my actions. I'm not a perfect person. I made some mistakes and now I'm going to move forward kind of deal.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said, Stacey. Yeah, because, you know, there are times where that person that hurt us may have passed away.
Right.
They may no longer be here with us, right?
Yeah.
Or we may never see them again. Or like for me, one of those external persons is in jail,
right?
So, you know, yeah, that resentment, which I think is the underlying word of what we're kind of talking about here, that resentment, that's like throwing sand in the wind. Right?
Yeah.
It's just going to come back to us. So, you know, there's an opportunity to release that. And, you know, I say that, but I should also say,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And nobody gets to give you a time frame as to what that may look like. You're allowed to hang on to it and hold on to it for as long as you want.
Right.
But you can also let it go at any point in time you want.
Right. I don't think you can move forward unless you actually let go of it. You know, it's always going to hold you back. It's always going to, you know, the hole is always going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and the emotions are going to get worse and worse if you don't learn how to let go and how to kind of internally forgive yourself and forgive the other person. You know, I think, you know, it's very important to be connected. You know, a lot of people don't realize the importance of having mind, body, and soul connected as one. So can you explain your aspect of why you think, you know, being connected spiritually is so important? Because a lot of times people are very cynical. And when you say connect with yourself spiritually, they look at you like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but it is very important to be connected with yourself and to understand, because your body's always telling you, giving you messages, that your inner self is always talking to you. It's understanding yourself and understanding the messages that your body or your inner self, your sixth sense, is trying to say to you.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that's okay. If somebody came to me and said, Ryan, man, I don't know, man, you're talking crazy. That's okay. I probably would have said that to people when they said that to me when I was in the height. I mean, I didn't, because I always knew internally, right? There was something there. But I perhaps may have been more dismissive at different points in times of my life to that inner exploration, right? So
yes.
I think it's kind of counterintuitive with my spiritual beliefs to say to somebody, oh, well, you've got to get this, or you've got to understand it, or you've got to let me teach it to you or show it to you. No, I believe that we all have free will. And so if what I share about the mind-body-soul connection doesn't resonate with you, okay, no worries. If there's a part of it that does resonate and a part that doesn't, okay, hold on to what resonates and throw away the rest, right?
Right.
We can either accept what other people say, we can reject what other people say, right? Or we can take it and kind of think about it and put our own meaning to it. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to accept everything I say.
Right.
I don't want you to reject everything I say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would just invite you to kind of chew on it and think about what parts resonate with you and what parts don't. I don't know if that answers the question or not.
No, it does. You know, I think, you know, every individual is different, and we all walk down a different pathway in life. So we all have different ways of perceiving things, looking at things, and what you may think for a certain situation or how you feel about a certain situation may be different than the person right next to you. So it's like, you know, you kind of bite off and chew what applies to you and take it in, and, you know, take in the stuff that will be beneficial, most beneficial to you, because not everything somebody says, whether they're a counselor, a coach, or a friend, is always going to be in alignment to what you think. But they might also give you information that can actually be beneficial. And sometimes they can give you information and it won't resonate till later on. Like, wait a second, so-and-so said this. And you know what? that kind of makes sense now. You know, sometimes it's not until later on that things start to pan out and people start to understand what someone else might be trying to tell them at that moment.
Yeah, that's so great. I was just smiling because I was thinking about, in the fitness industry, when I would train people, they would be like, "Oh yeah, Ryan, the workout didn't seem so hard in the moment, but I went to bend down yesterday, and oh my gosh, I was so sore," right? And the same thing kind of happens in my personal interact. And I don't share this to speak about myself, but to kind of echo your point, there are times where I may be helping somebody, and they'd be like, I hear you, but I don't quite get it." And then 4 or 5 sessions later, they'd be like, "Yeah, I remember that one time you told me this," right? And you can literally see then it unclicks, right? So if there's any caveats to, maybe the spiritual community or the essence of what that spirituality, man, everybody's gonna get it at their own time and in their own way, and that's okay. It's part of one of the reasons why I don't like organized religion, right? Is because who am I to say, what the truth is? I invite everybody to find their own truth.
I agree with you. I think that's true. Now, what's your take on spirituality and the connection of mind, body, and soul? Because everybody sometimes interprets it a little bit differently. What's your intake on it?
So I believe that we are internal, energetic beings, right? There is an essence inside of us that is a direct manifestation and a direct creation with whatever you want to call it, God, Allah, Brahma, Source, divine creator, whatever the case may be. It's known by different names in different cultures, right? But that is at the essence who we are, having a physical experience in this human body. And I believe that we are all creators, and that we can call into our life whatever it is that we want. When we take accountability for the fact that we have called in this life that we have. Listen, when I was sitting in jail, I kind of had that stark realization of, hey, I brought myself here. I created this. And damn, did that suck in that moment? It sucked. But it was also empowering because then I realized, okay, well, if I called this into my life, I know that I can call something else into my life. And now you ask yourself, what is it that I want to call into my life, right? So kind of as it relates to the mind, body, soul, it's just like, okay, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And if our body is not aligned with our soul, or our soul is not aligned with our body, right? Or kind of this ego, conscious and subconscious mind is not kind of aligned in together, then it's going to lead to disease, or what I would call dis-ease, meaning there's not congruence of the mind, body, soul.
You're kind of like is it's like you're explaining like the seven chakras, in a sense, and when one is off, it kind of throws everything else off itself, and I think you have to be in alignment, because when you're one thing can throw off everything. And like you said, 70% of illnesses is caused by stress alone. So really, how we think, how we react to things play a big role on how we feel, our health, our mental health, our physical health, everything, how we cope with life in general, finding the best ways to cope with life and not let life, kind of take control of us, in a sense, just those obstacles, learn how to deal with those obstacles in life, because we all have obstacles that we have to that we encounter on a daily basis. It's just how do we get through it, and that's what people have to learn, is don't let it get the best of you, and be able to cope with life and not let life, destroy you when things aren't going so perfectly.
That's a great point. I think that for me, one of the most powerful shifts was when I said, okay, is life happening to me, or is life happening for me? And when you can look at the most difficult, bad, or challenging events in your life and say, okay, why is this happening? What 2 steps of that? Number one, looking backwards, why did this happen for me? Okay, that's super powerful. Here's the next level to it, right? When you're in the middle of a stressful situation or a painful situation or whatever the case may be, if in that present now moment you can say, this sucks, I'm frustrated, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling out, which by the way, I feel that quite frequently. as part of being a human being, right? I see it in the work that I do every day. But there is something so powerful when in that moment we can say, okay, why is this happening for me? What am I supposed to be learning? How am I supposed to be growing? What is coming up inside of me to be cleared out, right?
Right.
Man, if you can do that in the moment of the difficult times, oh my gosh, life takes on a whole new meaning.
It does. You know, a lot of people, if they knew how to just like, you can meditate and you could take, you know, breathe, you could do breathing exercises anywhere. And if you could take a step back wherever you are when those things are occurring and just for a second, just calm yourself and just kind of clear out the craziness out of your head and be able to focus and have some clarity, you could handle a situation so much better than just reacting and going off and losing it, you know?
Yeah. When individuals feel that way, they're stuck in their amygdala, right? So when we see a little kid who's at the store and they don't get the present or the toy that they want, right? And it's like, oh my God, and they start crying and everything like that, right? That's because their prefrontal cortex has not developed. That rational reasoning mind has not yet developed. Here's the thing. If we've experienced trauma, we're far more likely to get stuck in our amygdala. And at any point in time during dysregulation, emotional dysregulation, we get stuck in our amygdala, right? Which is that fight, flight, or freeze type of response. We can't kind of process things normally. So to your point about the power of breathing and meditation and different grounding exercises, is it allows that information to go from the amygdala into the prefrontal cortex. And then we can really start to rationalize it. So we can ask ourselves that question of why is this happening for me?
Right. Exactly. Now I saw on your website, you talk also about business and stuff like that. And like, do you deal with a lot of clients for business burnout? Because that's a big issue, especially now when we had COVID, things got set back for a lot of people. We have the inflation going on. People are trying to make ends meet, you know, people are working really hard and a lot of people are getting burnt out because they're not, you know, it's harder to make money now and it's harder to, you know, get where they want to go. And also, you know, some people just have, you know, they have expectations and they can't meet up to those expectations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you deal with, you know, how do you, when you work with clients if they're suffering from business burnout, like what advice do you give them?
Yeah, great question. And I think that that's going to be something that we're really going to start to see here in the next, I think we're already seeing it, but I think we're really going to start to see it in the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
With the economy kind of on the downswing. To that, I would say, try different, don't try harder.
Right.
If trying harder worked, right, then people wouldn't be coming to see me. Almost everybody that I speak to has said, man, Ryan, I'm trying so hard and I just can't seem to get where it is that I want to get to, right?
Right.
And so, hey, maybe it's time to try different. And what I mean by trying different is maybe it's time to release some of these limiting mental programs.
Right.
Okay. And some of these limiting self-beliefs or the views that we have of ourselves,
right,
or just kind of the way that this world has programmed us to be, to feel like, oh my God, I've got to always be staying busy. Man, I struggle with it. I love to accomplish things. That was very much kind of how I was raised, right? It's like, okay, you know, you got to be the best hockey player. You got to be the best student. You know, you got to be the best in the gym, whatever the case may be. And that's great, right? That's a great mindset to have in many respects.
Right.
But if we get too hung up in that and we forget the importance of just being, you know, in the present moment and doing whatever that may be, if it's meditation, right? Really being present in the meditation. If it's just taking a day off with your family, right?
Right.
Be really present with your family. So I say all that to say, quite often we don't need to try harder. We need to try different. And that trying different typically means doing things with a different mindset, which doesn't cause so much friction, which doesn't make it feel so hard. You kind of release some of that old baggage.
Yeah.
That, you know, you don't got to carry around that heavy backpack with you all day long.
Right.
You just start to take some of the non-serving stuff out.
Yeah. And I think renewing yourself is also a big issue. Like people have to sometimes take some time to renew, like you said, get to they go out, do things that, they normally don't do. Having some quality time, I think, is important because if you don't, if you don't pamper yourself a little bit, you will get burnt out. You will, I think everybody needs a little bit of me time, I think that's important.
And we live in a world, right, where that me time is defined as selfish. It's not
Yeah.
selfish, right? I'm drinking water here out of this cup. If I continue to pour water out of this cup and I don't fill it back up, eventually I'm not going to have anything left to pour.
Right.
And I see that a lot in my work, especially with mothers that give and give and give and give and give,
Yes.
and they don't pour back into their own cup. And then, and we want to talk about mind, body, soul alignment, right? Then they will come to me, hair is thinning,
Yes.
feeling tired and lethargic all the time, even after, right, those after a good night's sleep, they wake
Yeah.
up and they still feel super tired, right? If they get their blood panels done, and I'm not a medical doctor, but I know how to kind of look at blood panel tests and work collaboratively with
Right.
wellness professionals, right? And so they'll be like, wow, I got my blood test done and my iron was super low and vitamin B or vitamin D levels were low,
Yeah.
right? Well, all of those are stemming from just this brain going 24/7, 365, tap, tap,
Right.
tap, tap, tap on the central nervous system,
Yeah.
right? Because they didn't proactively take some time for themselves.
Right.
And then of course, spiritually, you can start to feel resentment and burnout and all of these other non-serving emotions, which makes us not feel good inside.
But then people have to realize too, we're kind of like a car in a sense. You got to fill it up with gas every so often. If you don't, it's going to run out and it's going to die on you. Like as people, as human beings, the more you keep going and going and going and you don't eat the proper nutrients and you don't take care of your body and you don't have enough of water, your body becomes deficient in a lot of areas. And then you start lacking a lot of things. And then your body starts to slowly break down and the walls and the immune system start to break down. And then things not so great happen to you. It's like you really, and like you said, I see that a lot too with mothers. They feel like it's their obligation to constantly do, especially for their children. But they don't realize sometimes that you can't keep doing a good job if you don't take care of yourself first. Because if you take care of yourself first, then you're going to have the strength and the ability to take care of your children the way they should be taken. If you drain yourself, what good are you to your children or to your husband or to your partner if you're not taking care of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And what good are you to yourself ultimately, right? I think
Right.
it ultimately leads people to not feel good about themselves because then they start to beat themselves up when they can't hit that standard, right? And that
Yeah.
can lead into feelings of depression and low self-esteem, etc.
Oh, 100%. And you could see sometimes too, you could see, the appearance of some people before they had children. And then after they have children, you can kind of see the stress and how it's taken a toll on their body, the before and after. It's like, wow, and people have to realize that they have to take care of themselves. Now, when it comes to spirituality, are there certain exercises that you like to encourage your clients or even for you, things that you like to do that kind of help you feel more connected, more serene, more relaxed, and more focused?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's a very much a personal journey. So I'll share a little bit about what works for me, but this is not like, hey, this is the way to do it,
Yes.
right? Because
Right.
that's going to look very different for a lot of different people.
Right.
For me, meditation, and I kind of have kind of like a unique way that I describe or participate in my own meditation, and that is like last night. I did meditation and I did kind of like a playlist of different music. And I had Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, Tiesto, and Bone Thugs and Harmony. I mean, like all three different musical genres, right? But for me, it was about, okay, I am going to just get quiet on my bed and just let these songs play and stay fully present on the lyrics and the music and the beats and all of that, and just allow whatever is going to come through to come through. Sometimes it's more religious type faith-based music. Sometimes it's all house music. Sometimes it's Elvis Presley, right? Whatever. Sometimes it's just silence. Yeah. Whatever it is I feel I need in that moment to get the conscious mind out of the way.
Yeah.
So that I can connect into the subconscious mind. So that's a real powerful one for me. The other thing is prayer, what I call just having a relationship with your higher power. So
right.
Just speaking to your higher power. Another big thing is hugging yourself.
Yes.
I really don't hear a lot of people talk about that. But for me, if I'm having a really good meditation or I'm really feeling connected to God, Source.
Yeah.
Man, and I just give myself a big hug and I just say,
I like that.
I love you, man. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Right?
Hey, we made it through.
Right.
Stacey, I will quite almost always, right, really start bawling and tears coming down. Man, especially for men, right? Kind of the alpha male, big boys don't cry, stuff like that. Implementing, you know, different modalities like that can really make, and that's not just for men, right? But you know, integrating those different modalities are pretty powerful. So hopefully that's a few that maybe the listeners and the viewers haven't heard before.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, hugging yourself. I like that because even for me, like, you know, I talk about it in my books too. I had to come to a point where you have to kind of love yourself and give yourself a pat on the back, you know. You got to look in the mirror and be able to say, I like that person I see. You know, you have to love who you are as a person. If there's something that you don't like about yourself, then you need to work on it and try to do baby steps until you find that person that you want to be and then love that person. Because sometimes we, you know, we look at society and we get this, you know, people, especially the younger generation, you know, or even the old generation, they look at what the media puts out there and they think they have to follow that trend. They have to follow that those people, and they don't realize that those people aren't like that when the camera goes off. You need to be, you can't compare yourself to other people. You need to be who you are as a person. And as long as you are happy, that's what counts, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'll never be Stacy. I don't want to be like Stacy, and I'll never be able to do Stacy as good as Stacy does Stacy. Right?
Yeah.
And I'll never be able to do Wayne Gretzky as I played hockey growing up. Right. I'll never be able to be Wayne Gretzky as good as Wayne Gretzky was Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I can do. I can be the best version of Ryan Kopyar because there's only one Ryan Joseph Kopyar here in this planet in this timeline. Right. There's only one of me. And I know that I can do me better than anybody else can do me. But that right, begs a deeper question, which is, well, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And am I living congruently with who I want to be? And I think that kind of ties into the sense of, am I pursuing other people's goals or am I pursuing what's in my heart and in my soul?
Yes, that's very big. You know, I think everyone has a purpose. And a lot of times it's hard for people to figure out what their purpose is, you know, and you have to dig deep. Like you said, you know, you have to really go into your mind, body, and soul, and you have to really dig deep and figure out, what is my purpose in life? Who am I? What do I love to do? You know, and really understand who you are as a person, and finding out, you know, your purpose in life could really go far, you know, and, you know, that's when you start, you know, having direction and guidance and a journey and, you know, motivation and strength is when you find out what your true purpose in life is, what's going to make you happy, what's going to give you, you know, you're going to wake up in the morning and say, I want to do this, you know, have that oomph, you know, because you have purpose in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of expand on that, we may think that our purpose is going to come from some like magical, amazing moment, right? Like, I'm going to be, you know, whatever. And then like all of a sudden, this is just going to the answer is just going to come through to me in this magical rainbow, you know, butterfly moment. Listen, you know what? It started when that message started to come through for me. It first started off in a jail cell. Mm-hmm. The second time it came through was after a very serious car accident, which was the third of a series of pretty challenging life events, where I was sitting on my couch. I was making 50% of my salary of what I used to make. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills, right? And I was just like, okay, God, I know you're with me. Why is this happening for me? Because I can't really figure it out, right? So whether it's in a jail cell or whether it was physically I was at my lowest point, mentally I had been diagnosed with PTSD from the car accident, right? And financially I was struggling, and that was like the third kind of hit upside the head after a bunch of others, right? So
man,
sometimes that purpose can become most clear
at
our lowest moments. So
100%. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, I think sometimes that's when you come to realization, when something traumatic happens, you know, sometimes the light bulb goes off, you know, and it just, you know, it's unexpected. It's not planned. And then you come to realizations that you never had before.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So to the listeners and the viewers out there that feel like, wow, this is one of my lowest moments, right? I would humbly invite you to keep an ear out, keep an open heart, right? Because you never know your biggest calling or that answer that you may be searching for, right? Throughout your entire life is there, and it's waiting to be received if you're willing and able to receive it.
And spiritually, if you listen to yourself sometimes, you know, your body talks to you and your body, you know, kind of directs you sometimes. So, you know, having that connection, like that mind, body and soul connection, is important too, because sometimes, you know, the answers are right in front of us. It's really, really coming to terms and understanding yourself and knowing, you know, that, you know, finding those answers, because sometimes they're right in front of us and we don't even realize it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing, right, I would say to that, Stacey, is like, hey, don't be afraid to get a coach.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to get a counselor. I have spiritual mentor that I work with very closely. I have my own counselor who integrates kind of mental health and spirituality, right? I have one or two friends that are kind of like a mastermind, right? So don't feel like you have to figure it all out on your own, right?
Yes, it's definitely.
Okay to have a coach. It's okay to get some support. Not that they're going to be the ones to give you all the magical answers, right?
No.
But they can help you to sort through some of the different 100%. Stuff so that you can find the answer inside yourself.
I think it's very important to reach out and get additional help, because I see so many people trying to do it all by themselves, and they just stay stagnant in a plateau, and they don't move ahead. They don't move forward. They either get stuck, or they just, you know, and they just don't know where to turn. Like, it's like a highway and there's six lanes, and all of a sudden they're all turning off and you don't know what exit to take. And it's kind of like, you know, it could be mind boggling.
Yeah, for sure.
Now tell me about your book, Unlock the Power of the Mind. I want to hear a little bit about that book.
Okay. So I started that book back in 2017. And my publisher was he was amazing, but he was busting my chops because I didn't really write it. And it was after a series of events that happened for me, but at the time, that was a real struggle. I had a marriage that fell apart at the last minute, a wedding that fell apart at the last minute, lost my job, which was a new job that I had started prior to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was like kind of a wham, bam, right, in a very short period of time. And then a month after that, a very serious car accident hit from behind going. I was stopped at a red light. It was a truck that was going 40 miles an hour. So that was kind of like the 1, 2, 3, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right?
Sleeping in my friend's basement on his couch. You know, I mean, you want to talk about lowest of low, I was there.
Yeah.
And I said, in prayer and meditation, got connected to God, right? And I said, the message that came through was, it's time for you to be vulnerable. It's time for you to share your life story so that you can inspire others. Yeah, Ryan, you're gonna use this as an impetus to change your life, right?
Right.
But if you share your story, you can help other people to inspire them to want to create change in their life. So I threw on some Fleetwood Mac and, you know, just sat down at my computer and bawled my eyes out. And there was times where I couldn't, you know, I wrote about the death of my mother. some of the other life events that had occurred. And it was quite cathartic, but it was also quite challenging because, those are some dark times that I had not revisited. But I realize now that they were all part of my healing process. So to answer your question, the book is kind of part autobiography and then part, hey, here is, you know, some very impactful quotes that helped me to change my life around.
Right.
About me being vulnerable and sharing, you know, how I think that others could apply that to their life to facilitate change.
I like that. You know, sometimes people love to hear other people's stories, especially when they can relate to it in some way. And a lot of times when you hear people, just their personal stories, it could be just one segment of their story that you could relate to. And it just, it could help that person so much, you know, and just to be feel that, hey, I'm not alone. There are other people just like me going through the same trauma, you know, maybe a little bit differently, but you know, you feel like a bond, even though you don't know that person. And then, you know, and then just showing them some guidance or some direction on how you did it could actually help save a life. It could actually help someone, you know, move forward in life, you know? So that's great that you did that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I think that when we are vulnerable, we become invulnerable. Right. Yeah. So I was arrested. I'm not proud of it. Right. I was selling drugs. That's not something that I'm proud of, but guess what? I'm going to say it before you can say it to me. And here's the reason why, because I've attached a new meaning to the event.
Right.
I'm not here with you today if that event didn't happen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The marriage that never happened, the job that got lost, right? The car accident. I'm not here today if those events didn't happen. So would I choose them? No.
Right.
Would I change them? No, because they led me to where I am here today.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's really the underlying message that I wanted to get out with the book, right? Is when you're vulnerable, now you're invulnerable. And here's the other thing. We live in a world, right, where it's like everybody wants to seem perfect. They've got their highlight reel on social media and like that, right? What I really wanted to say is like, hey, you know, if you want to impress somebody, you show them that you're perfect, right?
But
if you want to connect with somebody, you show them your imperfections.
Yes.
With them. You show them your lowest points and times in their life. And here's the crazy part, Stacey. I think it was one of the biggest areas where I struggled was in really connecting with people because they looked at me and they thought, wow, this guy's got it all together.
Right.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
Right? And then the more I shared my own struggle, the more it created that meeting ground for connection.
Right. I don't believe in the word perfect. You know, like I don't even think it should be in our vocabulary because nobody is perfect. We all have our, you know, our trials and our traumas and we all, you know, we all have something. So nobody is perfect. And when you see those people on social media and they try to put the perfect, you know, image, you know, those are the people, you know, right away are totally fake, you know, and, you know, it's really, you know, I can relate to you because it would, you know, I had this whole thing in my head of who I wanted to be and what I was going to do. And, you know, my life did like a U-turn, you know, it was my condition that kind of drew me to a totally different area. You know, I ended up, you know, and then towards the end, I realized, wow, you know, I'm actually grateful that I got epilepsy. I'm actually grateful that this happened to me. I'm actually grateful that that happened to me. And people would look at me like I was nuts because I wouldn't be, like you said, where I am today. I wouldn't be so compassionate towards others. I wouldn't be so understanding towards others. I wouldn't have the heart that I have now if I lived the life that I anticipated in my head when I was young and coming out of school and, you know, young and naive and you have all these big dreams. You know, if I followed that path and nothing ever happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I kind of like where I am today.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I love that.
So now what type of services do you offer on your website? Cause you have a lot of things going on your website. So tell me a little about like all different types of things you do.
Yeah. Really ultimately I operate from the premise, a lot of other counselors or mental health professionals or coaches or whatever the case may be, right? They're going to tell you often what it is that you need to do, right? Or what you should be doing. I operate from a different premise. I think most people know what it is that they should be doing, or at least have an idea of what it is that they want to be doing. So what I help people with is, okay, what is holding me back from doing those things? Quite often it's old psychological programming. In Hindu, they call it vasanas or samskaras. These are quite literal, not literally, but neurological programs, scars, if you will, that have likely occurred because of past traumatic events.
Yes.
And they have then kind of imprinted themselves as the image, right? That self-image of who the individual is. I help people to release that old program, rewire the program it is that they want, right? And then get ready to live the life that they ultimately want to live. Now, that could be somebody that suffered from, a traumatic event in PTSD. That could be somebody that's a business professional that's looking to take their business to the next level.
Right.
That is maybe struggling with some kind of self-image or feeling of undeservedness, right?
Yes.
Or it could be with athletes. You know, I was a college athlete, right? So I have a lot of experience in working with athletes and performance. They all kind of ultimately blend in together, which is, how do I view myself and how do I view my self-worth? We're all different, but everybody wants to be seen, heard, loved, and believed in.
Yes.
And so that's the primary aspect of what it is that I do. I see people. I help them feel heard. I love them. I believe in them. And I show them how to do a little bit better, right?
Right.
And that may be different from that. How to do a little bit better is unique to the person. But the seeing, the hearing, and the loving, and the believing, those are all pretty much fundamentally the same.
Yeah, that's true. It's so true. You know, I feel like, people, a lot of things always happen from, from the moment you come out of your mother's womb, and you live life, certain things will scar people. And a lot of times it goes back to the childhood, or like you said, a traumatic event that occurred during their, journey through life, and people sometimes, they don't have the right counseling or the right coaching. They don't know how to get over that hump. And a lot of times too, it's the way you're raised too. Like we were talking about, men crying, in our society, when we grew up, men weren't supposed to cry, it was just the way we were raised. But, it's good for a man to cry, just like it's good for a woman to cry. To repress our emotions is not a good thing, because if you repress your emotions, you get to the point where you start to feel numb inside, and then you don't even know how you feel anymore as a person.
Yeah. I know we're running short on time. One other thing I would like to add there as it relates to the mind, body, soul connection, right? So when we cry, this is my opinion, right?
Yeah.
I believe that when we cry, it means it's because we're connected to our heart chakra, right?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
And as we're connected to our heart chakra, right? That opens it up. And when it opens it up, right, now we are invited to take an exploration inside to say, okay, so what's here? What's looking to come up, right? For me, that did it all the way back to, the anniversary of my mother's death and my unborn sister is tomorrow, right? Took me 3 decades to really allow myself to connect to my heart chakra, right? And to really get connected to that pain and to open up and to cry. So they say crying is a sign, society, crying is a sign of weakness. No, it's actually quite the opposite. Crying is a sign that one of the primary kind of external signs or physical manifestation signs that we are connected to our heart chakra.
Oh, 100%.
Right. For those, I believe in a non-literal kind of translation of the Bible, but it says in the Bible, right, as a man thinketh in his heart. It doesn't say as a man thinketh in his head. It says as a man thinketh in his heart, right?
Right.
And so I think that's, I just wanted to share that as kind of an impactful message, right, as it relates to the client, man, woman, whatever the case may be, right, is that it means you're connected to your heart chakra. And that's a beautiful thing to be celebrated, not to feel bad or guilt or shame about.
Oh, 100%. I don't really think it's the mind that controls this. I think it's the heart. And I think the heart sends messages to the mind, because maybe people think it's the opposite. But I really feel like it's our heart that tells our brain, and then our brain reacts. Everything to me comes from the heart. You know, I'm a true believer of that. Now, where can people find your website? So if people want to visit your website and they want to see all the different services and all different things, and I know you have a blog on your website. Can you tell people a little about that?
Sure. Yeah, it's www.ryankopyar, K-O-P-Y-A-R, holistichealing.com. I made it holistic healing because when I started my practice, I was still a clinical mental health intern. So it was unprofessional or unethical for me to say counseling, but right. I'm quite happy that it worked out that way, right? Because, you know, I do so much more than counseling.
Yes.
And I know, Stacey, you as a coach, right? It's like it goes so much more beyond just kind of the title of counseling. Yes. I don't really care about titles. I love to help people.
Help
in
people.
My profession, yes. I have to be very, very specific about how I identify myself in different geographical regions and jurisdictions and all that, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, what I do is I see people. I help people to feel heard, loved, believed in, cared about, and show them how to do a little better. So anybody that feels like, hey, Ryan is somebody that I feel like I could connect with,
right?
You know, put Ryan Copiar in Google and you'll be able to find out a lot of different ways how you can get in touch with me, or you can go to my website.
I think that's awesome. And your books, can they find those on your website, or do they go to Amazon for your books?
Oh yeah, Amazon.com. Yeah.
Okay.
Unlock the Power of Your Mind and the Power of Words will be launching here in the first part of 2023. I can't believe we're already going to be in 2023.
That's, I know. We say that every year, I think, you know, but the years go by, it goes by like this, and they're like, oh my God, you know, the new year is starting. But congratulations on your new book.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Stacey. I love your energy. I can tell that you genuinely care about helping people. So if there's anything that I can do to support you or to help spread your message, you know, please let me know. It would be my humble honor. People don't realize how much time behind the scenes it takes to do all this.
Yeah.
And so I just want to let you know that I see you for that, and I honor you for that. And
thank you.
Yeah, keep doing your thing, because you have a great energy about you.
Oh, thank you. And you also, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, you took your life and you learned from the hardships, and you were able to actually, you know, teach others through, you know, going through a hard journey in life and being able now to take that journey and help others. So, you know, that's wonderful. You know, a lot of people, you know, they go through hardships in life, and there's so many people that don't recover, but you were strong enough to actually, you know, learn and strengthen yourself and give yourself the courage to actually share it with the world. So I commend you on that.
Yeah. Thank you. To all the listeners and the viewers that may feel like they don't have the power.
Yes.
Whether people are listening to Stacey and all that it is that you've been able to overcome with your health issues, right? Or myself with, you know, the loss of my mother or some of the mistakes that I made in my life. I promise you, you do have the strength inside of you.
Yes.
And
yes.
You can get through it. And you don't even have to believe it. Say, here's this bald guy on the other side of the computer. I don't know. It's okay. You don't have to believe it. If somebody said that to me at a point in time in my life, I wouldn't believe it. You don't have to believe it. Just believe that I believe it.
Right.
And, exactly. And let me lend you, or let Stacey lend you, right, some of her belief until you can grab it on your own.
100%. I love that, you know, because I've come across people and, you know, one person had said to me, you know, after a while, when people say things to you, you start to believe it. And, you know, it's not true. You know, you have the ability to be anything you want to be in life. You just have to believe in yourself. And, you know, if you work hard enough, you can get to that point where you build that self-esteem and you build that, you know, ability to start liking who you are, to start loving who you are, and to get, you know, make your ideal you, you know, your dreams a reality, so forth.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Thanks, Stacey.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Ryan. And I look forward to maybe you come back on the show and we could talk some more. But it's been a true pleasure. And thank you for everything. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.